ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 23rd chapter, verses 26 to 57. In a house inside the lake, she saw 1,000 girls, all in the prime of youth and fragrant like lotuses. So we heard about Devahuti's wonderful service in an attitude of surrender, Sauhridena, great friendship, Sauhridena, friendship, Gauravena, respect, and also Vishambena, which was intimacy. Atmashochena, with great purity, she served. And these are all examples for disciples in their relationship with Guru, how they can serve the Guru. And we saw how after so many years of neglecting her health, that Kardama was very pleased with her. And he showed her the spiritual achievements which she would very soon get. And after that, of course, she said, well, actually, I would like to have children first. So he created an amazing castle in the air, full of opulence, pearls, diamonds, jewels. And even Kardama himself was astonished to see this castle. Even though he was the creator, after it was created, he was quite astonished. So Prabhupada says that nothing is impossible for a devotee of the Lord to achieve. If he simply surrenders to the Lord and tries to understand the signal of the Lord. So Kardama created a castle that could fly anywhere in the universe by his mystic power. And this was, he followed the path of actually bhakti yoga and ashtanga yoga together. And he meditated for 10,000 years. So most yogis, if they had this power, they would immediately become very attracted and they'd want to use it for some material enjoyment. But Kardama was not like that, although he did enjoy, but he never forgot the purpose of his life. He never forgot Krishna. And he was just doing his service of Prajapati. So we'll see that as soon as he gets one son, immediately he's going to leave home, even though that son is the Supreme Lord himself. So today we're going to hear how these great mystics enjoyed their grihastha life in great opulence. So where we left off yesterday, he created this beautiful, amazing castle, palace, with so many rooms. And Devahuti was looking at it and she was feeling quite out of place. Like, this is how I'm going to live in this castle the way I look. So then Kardama said, you just dive into this lake. And after she dove into the lake, she saw all these girls, very young girls, Kishora. Kishora age is around 10, what is it, 10 to 15? Something like that, 11 to 15. Anyway, very young girls, ready to serve her. So let's see what happens. Verse 27. Seeing her, the damsel suddenly rose and said with folded hands, we are your maidservants. Tell us what we can do for you. The girls, being very respectful to Devahuti, brought her forth, and after bathing her with valuable oils and ointments, they gave her fine new spotless cloth to cover her body. They then decorated her with very excellent and valuable jewels, which shone brightly. Next, they offered her food containing all good qualities, and a sweet, inebriating drink called asavam. So this is very much like nature cure, that you have the oil massage, and you have the special diet, and you have a wonderful drink or fruit diet, fruit drinks. So she's going through this, just like many of us who, after we finished our health, then we go to the nature cure. So same thing with Devahuti. Of course, we don't come out like she does. But anyway, we try to just maintain our health. What is this asavam? Anybody knows what this asavam? You know Adi Purusha?
Yeah, it's something similar to wine.
Like wine, huh?
Yeah, but it's wine on special herbs.
Acha. And, made from herbs.
Yeah.
Medicinal. Okay, asavam. Next time you see your Ayurvedic doctor, you can ask him for this asavam. Of course, I heard there's like, It sounds familiar to me, like there's some kinds of asavam, yeah?
Like
Chandranasavam. No, that's a different. Yeah. So different kinds of asavam, it seems. Yeah. Okay, anyway, sounds good. It's probably not for everyone. You have to have a doctor's prescription here. So verse 30. Then, in a mirror, she beheld her own reflection. Her body was completely freed from all dirt, and she was adorned with a garland, dressed in unsullied robes and decorated with auspicious marks of tilak. She was served very respectfully by the maids. Her entire body, including her head, was completely bathed, and she was decorated all over with ornaments. She wore a special necklace with a locket. There were bangles on her wrists and tinkling anklets of gold about her ankles. About her hips, she wore a girdle of gold set with numerous jewels, and she was further adorned with a precious pearl necklace and auspicious substances. So Prabhupada talks about the auspicious substances, saffron, kumkum, sandalwood pulp. And before bath, that's after bath, and before bath you have mustard seed oil and turmeric. So this is what was happening. She was having a special bath. Her countenance shone with beautiful teeth and charming eyebrows. Her eyes, distinguished by lovely moist corners, defeated the beauty of lotus buds. Her face was surrounded by dark curling tresses. When she thought of her great husband, the best of the sages, Kardama Muni, who was very dear to her, she, along with all the maidservants, at once appeared where he was. She was amazed to find herself surrounded by 1,000 maids in the presence of her husband and to witness his yogic power. So this is yogic power, actually. Amazing yogic power. The sage could see that Devahuti had washed herself clean and was shining forth as though no longer his former wife. She had regained her own original beauty as a daughter of a prince, dressed in excellent robes. Her charming breasts, duly girded, she was waited upon by 1,000 Gandharva girls. O destroyer of the enemy, his fondness for her grew, and he placed her on the aerial mansion. Though seemingly attached to his beloved consort, well served by the Gandharva girls, the sage did not lose his glory, which was mastery over himself. In the aerial mansion, Kardama Muni, with his consort, shone as charmingly as the moon in the midst of the stars in the sky, which causes rows of lilies to open in ponds at night. So amazingly beautiful sight to see the airplane of Kardama Muni in the sky. They have all these science fiction movies where the aliens come and all kinds of very funny sights. But here, actually, it's very beautiful. Not only did he create a castle, it was so beautiful to see in the sky, full moon night, like a full moon. He was like the moon and they were like stars. In that aerial mansion, he traveled to the pleasure valleys of Mount Meru, which were rendered all the more beautiful by cool, gentle, fragrant breezes that stimulated passion. In these valleys, the treasure of the gods Kuvera, surrounded by beautiful women and praised by the Siddhas, generally enjoys pleasure. Kardama Muni also, surrounded by the beautiful damsels and his wife, went there and enjoyed for many, many years. So this is the life of the Prajapati. The creators of the population of the universe. Satisfied by his wife, he enjoyed in that aerial mansion, not only on Mount Meru, but in different gardens known as Vaishambaka, Surasana, Nandara, Pushpa Bhadraka and Chaitratya, and by the Manasa Sarovar Lake. Any of these places here in our India? No. Manasa Sarovar, maybe.
Manasa Sarovar is in Tibet.
Tibet.
It was created by Brahma.
Yeah, Manasa Sarovar.
And it's crystal clear.
So one of these is here in this planet. He traveled in that way through the various planets, as the air passes uncontrolled in every direction. Coursing through the air in that great and splendid aerial mansion, which could fly at his will, He surpassed even the demigods. So how did he surpass the demigods? Yeah. Fixed in their orbit. Yeah. Right. Madam Puri. He could create a planet. Yeah, he could create a planet. Yes. So his castle was in constitution more like a planet, but it wasn't acting like a planet because planets have orbits and they have to stay fixed in their orbit. But his castle could fly just like the air. Air is free. The air can go everywhere. So that's what Prabhupada says here in the purport. Kardama Muni, the planets occupied by the demigods are restricted to their own orbits. But Kardama Muni, by his yogic power, could travel all over the different directions of the universe without restriction. So this is quite amazing. Prabhupada says, we cannot move freely. We're conditioned souls. He says, but modern man is trying to go to the moon and to the other planets. But even the demigods cannot do. So how can these people expect to do that? But Kardama Muni could surpass the strength of the demigods and travel in space in all directions. So it's quite amazing. Just to have such a huge thing in the air in the first place, and then to have such control over it, such minute control that you could just go any direction. Like just for the airplane, just to go straight or to turn or something. So much difficulty. But here you can just...
Like Shalva.
Huh?
Like Shalva.
Like Shalva. He had that kind of... Oh, he had a hard time? No, he had a good...
Shalva had this kind of...
Yeah, he had that kind of airplane.
Automatic.
Yeah. The demons can create those kind of airplanes, but they can't create this kind of castle. 42. What is difficult to achieve for determined men who have taken refuge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's lotus feet? His feet are the source of sacred rivers, like the Ganga, which put an end to the dangers of mundane life. So the qualification here is determined. Here in the Sanskrit, udama chetasam. Udama chetasam. If you're determined and you serve Krishna, you can attain anything. And Prabhupada gave us that spirit that nothing is impossible. Possible is a word in a fool's dictionary. That we should not, if he gives us an order, then it's no question. We can do it if we depend on him. So Prabhupada says here in the purport, the words yar ashitas tita padas charana are significant here. Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Tirthapad. The Ganga is called a sacred river because it emanates from the toe of Vishnu. The Ganga is meant to eradicate all the material distresses of the conditioned souls. For any living entity, therefore, who has taken shelter of the holy lotus feet of the Lord, nothing is impossible. Kardama Muni is special, not because he was a great mystic, but because he was a great devotee. Therefore, it is said here that for a great devotee like Kardama Muni, nothing is impossible. Does anybody here in this room have impossible desires? That you think yes, you do, huh?
Yeah, I want to go back to Goloka Vrindavan.
Goloka Vrindavan, yeah. It's quite impossible. Yes. Any other impossible dreams? I want to go back before I die. So there. That's my impossible desire. I want to see Goloka before I die. See Krishna and see everybody and talk to them. I told Burijan that. He says, but then what will you say? I didn't know what I would say. Anyway. Yeah. No, I don't know. Let's see.
It's not a problem. Dhruva didn't know what to say. Krishna touched him and he was...
Yeah, that's true. Dhruva. Yes. Actually, in that, it's very beautiful what Prabhupada said in the purport that the Vishuddhutas came and he... Was it Dhruva? I think it was Dhruva. The Vishuddhutas came and he didn't know what to say to greet them also. And they, you know, all of a sudden the Vishuddhutas come in and see you. And he was completely speechless. And then he just started chanting Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada said, yes, if this happens to you, you can just chant Hare Krishna. Whether happy or distressed, you can just chant the holy name. And it's very, and they will be pleased with you. So that's one thing we can't forget, is the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So we heard in verse 41 how Kardama surpassed the demigods who were in charge of various directions, since their planets had to follow their orbits, whereas he could go in any direction. So this verse explains how Kardama got such power, that he took refuge of the Lord's lotus feet. We heard a lot about the Lord's lotus feet in these verses, and all in the verses of Bhagavatam. So I'll just remind you about the conch shell, the symbol of the conch shell. Krishna's lotus feet is the jala tattva, or principle of water, where the Ganga comes. And for the devotees, this symbol proclaims victory, ultimate victory, because the conch shell contains the whole ocean of material existence, which can very easily be crossed if you take shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. And another sign very significant to this part here is the octagon, eight sides. It's an eight-sided figure on Krishna's lotus feet. And this means that those who worship his feet are well protected in the eight directions, and also it means that nothing in this kingdom of eight directions is unattainable for devotees. And it also means that the devotees automatically and easily achieve mystic powers. So just by worshipping lotus feet of Krishna, everything happens. It says, in the course of performing service to his feet. So Narada Muni, in the first canto, there's a verse where he was explaining his previous life, and he was saying that he was worshipping the Lord, performing devotional service, and first he got knowledge, and then he got Aishwarya, and then he got bhava. Three things, one after the other. First, he got complete knowledge, complete mystic powers, and then he got love of God. So if we get on the way, if we get these things and we forget Krishna, we're going to be in trouble. So we have to keep our goal in mind, love of Krishna. Verse 43. After showing his wife the globe of the universe and its different arrangements, full of many wonders, the great yogi Kardama Muni returned to his own hermitage. So in paragraph 2, Prabhupada says, here is the example of a perfect yogi. He could travel all over the universe. Similarly, there is a description of Durvasa Muni, who also traveled in space. Actually, the perfect yogi can do that. But even if one can travel all over the universe and show wonderful feats like Kardama Muni, he cannot be compared to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose power and inconceivable energy can never be attained by any condition or liberated souls. So that's the problem nowadays, that somebody gets a little mystic power and he claims to be God. Just because he can make some gold or he can make some ashes or come out of pictures and so many things, then people think, oh yes, this is God. Because they cannot do. So Kardama Muni is very humble. Although he had such great power, he always remained humble. He knew where the power comes from. So what are some examples of other devotees who appreciated, who understood, who realized where the power came from? Some devotees we hear of in Bhagavatam. Yeah, Bhatri? Bali Maharaj. Yes, he understood where the power is coming from. Who else? Prahlad Maharaj. Yes. But what did he say? He said, yeah.
As far as my power is coming from the same source,
yes,
as yours.
His father challenged him. He said, where is this? Where? How can I kill you? Where is your power coming from? He says, same place you're getting your power. Vishnu. Oh. And he didn't like that answer. It was not the correct answer for the exam. It was not correct. He didn't like that answer at all. The answer was supposed to be, no, it's from you, my dear father. No. Yes.
Lord Brahma.
Lord Brahma, yes. He's praying his prayers for empowerment. Sankirtan.
Arjuna.
Yes. Arjuna is a really good example, because he lost all his power after Krishna left. Then he realized, oh, where my power came from. I have this, he said, I have the same bow, I have the same horses, I'm the same Arjuna, and the same chariot, but the power is gone. So it didn't come from any of these things, it came from Krishna. Okay, so that's what we have to remember. Where are all these powers coming from? Verse 44. After coming back to his hermitage, he divided himself into 9 personalities, just to give pleasure to Devahuti, the daughter of Manu, who was eager for sex life. And that way he enjoyed with her for many, many years, which passed just like a moment. So when you're happy, then it seems like a moment, everything. And that aerial mansion, Devahuti, and the company of her handsome husband, situated on an excellent bed that increased sexual desires, could not realize how much time was passing. While the couple, who eagerly longed for sexual pleasure, were thus enjoying themselves by virtue of mystic powers, 100 autumns passed like a brief span of time. So 100 years, but remember, they were doing by virtue of mystic powers. So we don't know which 100 years that is, by their life or by earth life. The powerful Kardama Muni was the knower of everyone's heart, and he could grant whatever one desired. Knowing the spiritual soul, he regarded her as half of his body. Dividing himself into 9 forms, he impregnated Devahuti with 9 discharges of samana. She wanted a lot of children, Prabhupada said, so he gave her 9 at once. Immediately afterwards, on the same day, Devahuti gave birth to 9 female children, all charming in every limb and fragrant with the scent of the red lotus flower. When she saw her husband about to leave home, she smiled externally, but at heart she was agitated and distressed. So, Vihasta life finish, and he's ready to leave. But no, wait. She stood and scratched the ground with her foot, which was radiant with the luster of her gem-like nails. Her head bent down, she spoke in slow yet charming accents, suppressing her tears. Devahuti said, "My lord, you have fulfilled all the promises you gave me. Yet, because I am your surrendered soul, you should give me fearlessness too." So now his grihastha life is finished. So you can see he's detached. As soon as he got children, he's out. He's ready to leave. Wasn't attached. But now she's attached. She said, "Wait a minute, now you have to give me, fulfill the other promises you made." So at the end of the purport, Prabhupada said, "Material existence is always fearful and full of anxiety. Devahuti is saying, you have given me all sorts of material comforts by your yogic power, and since you are now prepared to go away, you must give me your last award, so I may get free from this material conditional life." So what is the last award that she is asking for now? What is it? Krishna consciousness, yes. Bhagavat Prasad, we heard about Bhagavat. He says, "I will give you Bhagavat Prasad, which is Abhayam Ashokam." So now she's asking for that. She got the children, now she wants Bhagavat Prasad. Krishna Prema. 52. "My dear Brahman, as far as your daughters are concerned, they will find their own suitable husbands and go away to their respective homes. But who will give me solace after your departure as a sannyasi?" Not only Bhagavat Prasad, she wants a son also. So Prabhupada explains in the purport, 8 lines down. Devahuti is indirectly asking that in his absence from home there be at least 1 male child to give her relief from her anxieties. This relief means spiritual instruction. Relief does not mean material comforts. So in India especially, Indian families, the mother, she's expecting that her son is going to take care of her. Sons will take care of her in her old age. They won't put her in the old age home. She will stay home and the sons will take care. So that's how she's also thinking, I need a son. I need also a son to take care. You can't just leave. Before I was with my father, now I'm with you, and now I need a son. So why can't, Prabhupada says, relief does not mean material comforts. Why not? That's the whole India is thinking like that. Why isn't that relief? Why is she not satisfied? Oh, yeah. Entangling. Okay, distress. Cause of distress. Prabhupada says, material comforts will end with the end of the body, but spiritual instruction will not end. It will go on with the spirit soul. Instruction in spiritual advancement is necessary, but without having worthy son, how could Devahuti advance in spiritual knowledge? It is the duty of the husband to liquidate his debt to his wife. The wife gives her sincere service to the husband, and he becomes indebted to her, because one cannot accept service from his subordinate without giving him something in exchange. Spiritual master cannot accept service from a disciple without awarding him spiritual instruction. That is the reciprocation of love and duty. Thus, Devahuti reminds her husband, Kadama Muni, that she has rendered him faithful service. So that's the material side. Even considering the situation on the basis of liquidating his debt toward his wife, he must give a male child before he leaves. So one thing is she served him. Another thing is that, according to Shastra, that the husband has a debt to give one son to the wife. So these are from different points of view. Prabhupada is giving the arguments. Indirectly, Devahuti requests her husband to remain at home a few days more, or at least until a male child is born. So Burijan commented on this, that Devahuti followed the process to fulfill material desires, and what was the result? Detachment and spiritual desires. So this is Grihastha life according to the Vedas. The result should be that you become detached and your spiritual desires increase. Verse 53. Until now, we have simply wasted so much of our time in sense gratification, neglecting to cultivate knowledge of the Supreme Lord. So this is the title of the chapter, Devahuti's Lamentation, that why my whole life I've been just enjoying with you. But I didn't realize what a great devotee you are. I didn't realize that you're saintly. I didn't realize this side of you. And so this is her lamentation. I wasted my life. I didn't get your proper association. End of the purport. Devahuti said to her husband, so far we have these daughters, and we've enjoyed material life and aerial mansion, traveling all over the universe. These boons have come by your grace, but they have all been for sense gratification. Now there must be something for my spiritual advancement. So she wants those awards that he promised her. He said, just see the spiritual achievements. But he's going away. So how can he give? He says, how can you leave now? You didn't fulfill your promise yet. So verse 54. Now she's lamenting. This is her lamentation. Not knowing your transcendental situation, I have loved you while remaining attached to the objects of the senses. Nonetheless, let the affinity I have developed for you rid me of all fear. So how is this? She's been enjoying with him her whole life, and she's saying, well, let this attachment give me fearlessness. So how can this attachment of enjoying and sense gratification, how is this going to give her fearlessness? This attachment for you. How is it possible that something material can give something spiritual? Yeah. What? Prasangam ajaram pasham. Yes. And the next verse is very similar. The next verse is the answer. Sango ya sangsiter hetur asatsu vihitodhya sa eva sahu sukrito nisangatvaya kapate. Association for sense gratification is certainly the path of bondage. But the same type of association performed with a saintly person leads to the path of liberation, even if performed without knowledge. So in India, sometimes ladies, they think that if I go and have a child by a saintly person, that will be very auspicious. So they go to the holy places and they look, but there's men there who are very degraded men. Then they dress up like the saints and they go to the holy places. And so these women and these men meet, and this is Kali Yuga. But no, not like that. That's not what this verse means at all. This verse means a real saintly person. That if you associate, if you're attached, if you have that emotional attachment, same attachment if you have for a saintly person, it actually leads to the path of liberation. End of the purport. Srila Prabhupada says. And that's actually, you see the life of Prabhupada, that people came in contact with Prabhupada and they didn't know who he was. But they just met him and their whole life was changed just by seeing him or hearing him. And they were just taking him, you know, in a material sense. Reporters, these people, their life changed. So Prabhupada says at the end of the purport, association with a great saintly person also results in liberation, just as whether one goes toward fire knowingly or unknowingly, the fire will make one warm. Devahuti expressed her gratefulness, for although she wanted to associate with Kardama Muni only for sense gratification, because he was spiritually great, she was sure to be liberated by his benediction. So somehow or other, she contacted a pure devotee and served sincerely. So must be some spiritual benefit, she's logically thinking. And Kardama did promise her that. So we know Prabhupada was like that, that anyone who came in contact with Prabhupada, his whole life was changed. We all have that experience that somehow or other, either by his books or by his devotees, somehow our life changed by association. So Narada Muni, he did that in the life of the hunter. There's an example how he changed the life of the hunter. Parvat Muni said to him, "You are just like a touchstone. You are just like a touchstone. Whoever you touch becomes, whoever comes in contact with you becomes a devotee." So now Devahuti, she's begging for him not to leave. "You didn't give me this thing yet, and this is what I want now." Now she's ready for spiritual instruction. So then the verse that we had to learn, Neha yat karma dharmaya na viragaya kalpate na tirta para sevaya jivan apimitosa. Anyone whose work is not meant to elevate him to religious life, anyone whose religious ritualistic performances do not raise him to renunciation, and anyone situated in renunciation that does not lead him to devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead must be considered dead, although he is breathing. So this is a very heavy statement by Devahuti. People are dead bodies without bhakti. Dead bodies. They're breathing dead bodies. So why is it? Why such a heavy, heavy statement? We see so many people are engaged in religious life. So many people are renounced. So why is she saying it's all useless? Suppose you spend your whole life in renunciation. Suppose you spend your whole life as a very religious person. But no, you're a breathing dead body. This is what she's saying here. So how can this be? Why is that? Mpanamali.
Now, according to religious life, more?
Yeah, she got renunciation.
Now,
oh, very good. You picked that up. So here, he's saying, you just look at the life of Devahuti. First they had dharma, and this dharma led to vairagya, renunciation. So her religious life led to vairagya. Now she says, okay, now I got the vairagya, but where's the bhakti? Now it should lead to bhakti. You have to give me this. So it's just, you look at the life of Devahuti, and this is actually what it is. And this is the purpose of the gradual elevation in the Vedic path. That, where is this? This is in first canto, second chapter, Dharmasya Yapavargasya. The purpose of Dharma is Apavargasya, or liberation. Not Artha. And if you do get Artha, if Dharma is not for Artha, but that's what everybody thinks in this world. They think, yes, religion is for getting some economic development, some nicer position, Artha. And what is that? Nartaya? I can't remember the rest of it. Yeah. Karpate. Nartasya dharmakantasya kamola bahismita. Yeah. So that is that. And if you do get some artha, then it should not be for kama. It should not be for sense gratification. And kamasya nindriya pritir. And if you do get, if you want to enjoy your senses, it should not, I mean, if you do get kama, get some enjoyment, it should not be for satisfying your senses. But you should only desire a healthy life. Yavan jivete yavata jivasya tatva jigyasya. Because the purpose of life is inquiry into the absolute truth. So in those two verses, the whole Vedic path is summarized, 1, 2, 9, and 10. And here also, the whole Vedic path is summarized in this verse. What is the purpose of dharma? What is the purpose of renunciation? It is bhakti. Everything should lead to bhakti. There's a nice purport in Madhya Lila Chaitanya Charitamrita 17, 185. Prabhupada says, the conclusion is all pious activity, fruitive activity, religious principles, renunciation must ultimately lead to devotional service. And then Prabhupada lists all the different processes of service. One may serve his country, people, society, varnasham dharma, the sick, the poor, the rich, women, demigods, and so on. All this service comes under the heading of sense gratification or enjoyment in the material world. Quite amazing. He puts varnasham in there. It is most unfortunate that people are more or less attracted by such material activity, and the leaders of these activities are accepted as Mahajan's great ideal leaders. Actually, they're only misleaders. But an ordinary man cannot understand how he is being misled. So this is what this verse is all about. If you're not, there's another very similar verse about japa and yajna. I can't remember it. Loka Ranjanam, something, I can't, yeah. That even if you may be chanting japa, you may be doing so many things. If it doesn't lead to bhakti, then you're just like a decoration on a dead body. So these verses are there. Verse 57. My Lord, surely I have been solidly cheated by the insurmountable illusory energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For in spite of having obtained your association, which gives liberation from material bondage, I did not seek such liberation. So what she says, I have been cheated. So how has she been cheated by the illusory? How does the illusory energy cheat us? What is the cheating of Maya? Well, how is it cheating us? Pachi?
She wants to keep us here.
She wants to keep us here.
Promising
by her promises, yeah. And the promises are like the mirage in the desert. It keeps going further and further ahead. As you go for it, as you go for the mirage, it keeps moving. So we try. What's another cheating? She makes things, and this is also the, some people have a profession, the advertising profession of making things which are not attractive to make them attractive. Srila Prabhupada, one time, who tells this? In the memories of Srila Prabhupada, it was at Sannyasi, Sudama. He said he was a new devotee and he was with Srila Prabhupada alone in Prabhupada's room one time. They were in this apartment that they rented for Srila Prabhupada to stay. But the apartment was not proper. His secretary, at that time Govindadasi was Prabhupada's secretary, she and her husband. And she walked in the apartment, she took one look and she said, oh, this will never do. You cannot stay here. So she took Gargamuni, the temple president, and they went off to find a nicer place for Prabhupada. But meanwhile, Sudama, who was with Prabhupada, he was alone in the room with Prabhupada, just sitting there with him while they were finding a new place. So Prabhupada said, turn on the TV. And Sudama was like, what? Turn on the TV, because he didn't know. He thought, you know, spiritual master, we don't do these things. So anyway, no, he turned the TV on. And on the TV, there was a commercial advertisement. And it was for a washing machine that washes clothes. So in India, we don't see these things so much. But there was the washing machine had a personality, it had a name, and it was dancing. And Prabhupada just cracked up. He thought, this was the funniest thing in the world. And he had him turn the channel for more commercials. He wanted to see more commercials of American. He thought that how they give a personality to these machines so they can sell them. So it's not very attractive, a washing machine, but the advertisers, their job is to make it attractive so that you'll buy it. So this is the whole advertising is based on this cheating of Maya. It's based on the cheating of Maya. Something you don't need at all. It's an anartha, it's an unwanted thing. But they are convincing you that you need it. So this is going on. This is the cheating of Maya. So we don't need all these things. We don't even need the body, actually, except for devotional service. But Maya is convincing us, yes, yes, you need this, and you need so many things. So this is what's going on here, the story of this material world. So Prabhupada, at the end of the purport, he says, material achievement is actually no achievement, because as soon as one is illusioned by the material gifts, he becomes more and more entangled, and there is no question of liberation. One should be intelligent enough to know how to utilize material assets for the purpose of spiritual realization. So we have to examine our own tendencies, what we do with our body, our mind, and our words to see where it is leading us. Because here it says, if it doesn't lead to devotional service, then you're like a breathing dead body. So if we're not making progress, what is it? Actually, if we're not making progress, what is the problem? What could be the problem if we think we're not actually making progress in spiritual life? What could be actually the... Why this is so? Why are we unsatisfied? What do you think? What are some answers? Yes. Offensive mentality. Mm-hmm.
Embraces tree,
let go. If you embrace the tree.
Ashtavakra.
You may need the fan, but they don't. But they're connected, so it's a problem. It's all the way down? Okay. All right. So what were you saying?
So, yeah, we may not be...
We maintain material attachments.
But at the same time, we say, well, let me get out of Maya, but we hold Maya.
Okay, we're holding on, but we're saying, let me get out, but we're holding on as tight as we can.
Yeah, so very clear.
Yeah, therefore...
Because of lack of realization.
Lack of realization. Okay, any... Yeah, Marvin Puri. Okay, Krishna Bulijeev. As soon as we turn our face from Krishna, then immediately we're picked up by Maya. So you're saying that the reason why we're not making progress is because we're turning our face away from Krishna. That's what you're saying. Okay? Anything else? Yeah. We're not following the process well enough. Yes, we could be watering the weeds, chanting so many rounds, maybe even 64 rounds, but the weeds are growing instead of the creeper. That could be. Yes. Our previous karma may stop us. Yes. It may come and we may think, oh, this is very helpful for my devotional service. But it may not be very helpful for your devotional service. It may be the opposite. We say, this is Krishna's mercy. Yeah.
We may have some wrong association even though it may be pleasant.
We may have wrong association even though it may be
pleasant.
Yes. That is called prajalpa. Sometimes we think prajalpa is very nice, but it's not very helpful. I think you lose a leaf from your creeper every time you do some prajalpa. Yeah.
You think we are very intelligent.
Oh, we think we are very intelligent. Yes, this could stop our progress. This could stop our progress. If we think we become proud, we think we are making it, even if we think we're making advancement, then sometimes that's enough to fall. We think, yeah. Yeah, it means lack of enthusiasm. Ways to become detached. Oh, Wednesday is a good day for giving away things.
Yeah,
get rid of our things. Yeah, this is especially for grihasthas. I don't think other brahmacharis have many possessions. Okay. So these things are helpful. I'll just read. I have something here by Srila Prabhupada. It's a part of a poem. It's four stanzas. And Prabhupada, in these four stanzas, he gives us the real understanding of material life. And this poem is called Vrindavan Bhajan. Prabhupada says, I'm sitting alone in Vrindavan Dham. In this mood, I'm getting many realizations. I have my wife, sons, daughters, grandsons, everything. But I have no money, so they are a fruitless glory. Krishna has shown me the naked form of material nature. By his strength, it has all become tasteless to me today. Yasyaham anugrihnami harishe tatanam shanai. I gradually take away all the wealth of those upon whom I am merciful. How was I able to understand this mercy of the All-Merciful? Then now verse number 2. Everyone has abandoned me, seeing me penniless. Wife, relatives, friends, brothers, everyone. This is misery, but it gives me a laugh. I sit alone and laugh. In this Maya Sangsara, whom do I really love? Where have all my loving father and mother gone to now? And where are all my elders who were my own folk? Who will give me news of them? Tell me who. All that is left of this family life is a list of names. Like the froth on the seawater mixes again in the sea. Maya Sangsara's play is just like that. No one is mother or father or personal relative. This is verse 3. Just like the sea foam, they remain but a short time. Just as the froth on seawater mixes again in the sea, the body made of five elements meets with destruction. How many bodies does the embodied soul take in this way? His relatives are all simply related to this temporal body. 4. Verse 4. But everyone is your relative, brother, on the spiritual platform. This relationship is not tinged with the smell of Maya. The Supreme Lord is the soul of everyone. In relation to him, everyone in the universe is the same. All your relatives, brother, all the billions of jivas, when seen in relation to Krishna, they are all in harmony. Forgetting Krishna, the jiva desires for sense gratification, and as a result, he is firmly grasped by Maya. So this is Prabhupada's realization. After everything was taken away from him, then he said this, he saw the naked form of Maya before him. That how, although he served his family so nicely for his whole life, as soon as he lost his money, they abandoned him. So this is Prabhupada's realization of Maya. They're so nice with you when you're there, but what is it that they actually value of you? So they value the money, your relatives. So when that's gone, you lose all your friends and you lose so many things if you lose your money. Now that's the story of Maya in this material world. The people, they're attached to your opulences, but they may not be so attached to you. So this is the hard facts and the naked, the form of Maya. Anyway, we'll stop here. Any questions or comments? Today's verses. Maivanipuri.
This verse
56,
we have to learn
Nehaya Karma. Right, Nehaya Karma
Dhamma. Just in the Upanishad.
And Shiesh Upanishad.
And on
the... He's paraphrasing this.
Yeah.
Oh.
Nehaya
Karma Dhamma. What is the verse 3 in English? Atmaha, oh, killer of the soul, killer of the soul.
Those don't follow Ishara's consciousness.
Hmm. They're killer of the soul.
Yeah.
So that's what this means here, that breathing dead body, killer of the soul.
Killer of the soul.
Well, that's nice. Killer of the soul. Yeah, and actually he did follow that. He waited till, he doesn't leave right now. But he waits till Kapila is born, and he's old enough to take care of his mother, and then he leaves. Yeah, the GBC resolution, I think, is you have to be, the son has to be 16, the youngest son has to be 16 years old.
And also should be maintained, you know, there should be some funds.
Yeah, well, she had the beautiful house, which was increasing in due course of time. So I think her maintenance was there, but that wasn't enough, as Prabhupada said. It's not just the material comforts. The spiritual instruction, so therefore he had to leave a son who was going to instruct her in spiritual life. They should put that in the GBC resolution, spiritual instruction also. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I know it's different for demigods and for at least for rakshasas.
In the heavenly planets, it's like this.
Yeah, in the heavenly planets.
She was pregnant and she got the children the same day.
Yeah. Yeah, so they may grow up immediately. But actually, they didn't get married right away because it said after many, many years, she got Kapila.
Yeah.
And then Lord Brahma came with all the sages, and then they got married to the girls. So they remained for many, many years with her.
Yeah.
The girls, yeah.
And also Kardama remained for the many, many years.
Yeah, Kardama, he couldn't leave until Kapila was born. And Kapila was big enough. He could have grown up in the same day, who knows, but he waited. We'll see in the next chapter. He doesn't leave right now, but he will stay and give her a son, Kapiladev, And but as soon as Kapila Dev's old enough, then he's ready to leave home. And he does take care of her. I mean, so he would follow the GBC resolution if he were here. Kapila was old enough to take care.
His first intention was
that. Yeah, his first was just to go away. And so he's not allowed, though. Then he's not going to do that. The wife convinced him.
So his wife is his
duty. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah. No, he was actually bound to his promises too.
remind him.
Yes. Sometimes, yes, but not all the time, or else you lose your husband. Yes, he has to remind sometimes that no, you. What about your promise? And she did remind him your promise, and he also knew how that the Lord was promised that he was going to come as his son. So how is he going to have the Lord if he goes away? He has to have the Lord as the Lord also promised. He has to keep the Lord's promise to that he would appear as his son. Sankirtan Das, Jamuna River. Well, we have Jamuna here. So if you have a headache, you go. It's for nerves. Actually, we heard in the universal form section, or the creation section, to take bath in the river is very good for nervous disorders because it's the veins of the universal form. To take bath in the ocean is good for digestion, because it's the stomach of the universal form. So these things are there. And a headache could be due to stress or nervous thing, tension. Yeah. So it's actually like a sauna, a night sauna, but a whirlpool if you go to Jamuna. It's very soothing. Now, of course, it's a little bit heavy. I just went. It's quite fierce. Yeah. Oh yeah, the demigods, right? Niriti and yeah, Vayu, Agni, southeastern, Yama, southern. Yes. What's the question? Niriti. Yeah, he's more of a demoniac type demigod. Yeah, in charge of some kind of inauspicious things. Death, is it? Death. Okay, there you have it. I knew it wasn't good. He's in charge of death. Niriti. I knew it wasn't a very pleasing thing that he was in charge of. I just couldn't remember. Niriti is in charge of death. He's one of the demigods in the purport of 39. And also I heard that as far as Vastu is concerned, it's not good to have your doorway facing south. It's very inauspicious. That's your door, your entrance to your house. Entrance to your house should not face south. That is Yamaraj, south, yeah. Southern direction, the entrance. Brajabihari, he changed. He has two entrances, so he changed from south to west when he found that out.
I heard that from south, ghosts are coming.
Yeah, I don't know, really. I don't know why, but I just heard it's not good.
Achha,
ghosts are coming. With us too. Okay. Okay. Anyway, somehow or other they come. But if you chant Hare Krishna, no problem. What can we do? In Kali Yuga, everything is all mixed up. Okay, any other comments or questions on these verses? Yeah, Parvati. Oh, this is a very interesting verse.
And then she was in there underwater.
That's what my son said. In a house. It says in a house, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, in a house.
Would
that house be underwater? Yeah, inside the lake. Under the water. As far as, yeah, she dove in. She didn't come out. Huh?
She's yoga, actually.
Yeah. I mean, the yogis, they can breathe under, they can do all those things. You know, like Salbari.
She was clothed.
Yeah, everything. Everything happened in the house, underwater. Yes. But don't try to figure out how. First you have to experience it and then you'll understand. Yeah, of course. There's so many stories of things happening underwater in Mahabharata. Bhima. Yeah. But Bhima went underwater. He was poisoned by Duryodhan. He went underwater and then the snakes all bit him and it neutralized the poison. And then they wanted to take him to their kingdom, and they gave him a wonderful drink, which made him much, much stronger than he was before. And he had a good time underwater, wherever their kingdom was. He had a really good time. And Arjuna also, he was dragged under by one girl who wanted to marry him, Naga, I forget her name, Ulupi, dragged him down and made him marry her. And, you know, so many things happen under the water. Nanda Maharaj was taken to Varuna. So yeah, but you know, these people are quite advanced than we, much more advanced than we are. If we tried it, it wouldn't happen. We would find other things at the bottom of the water. Yeah, sun rays from the rivers are channels to other planets.
And rivers
for sure. Rivers, we heard how there's a universal highway from the Ganga. Ganga is the highway from the highest planet down to Patala. The sun rays, yeah, it could be. I hear the yogis traveling on the sun rays. Okay. You know, our conceptions are so limited. You know, how can we understand this yogic power? Diving into the lake and getting a whole change of body. And this happened to Chaivana Muni too. He went into the lake and he got a change of body. And he became young, like the Ashwini Kumars. So it's not an unusual thing that you go in the lake and you get a change of body. Your body completely changes. Even the demons, there, Maya Dhanava, who was the head of the demons, he made a special nectar tank that even if you die, you go in and you can be revived from the dead. And so... So even, you know, it's just mystic powers. You go inside, you put a dead body in, it comes out alive. You know, that's quite even more amazing. You go in dead, you come out alive. Yeah.
I have one.
Yes.
Krishna went to Radha Kund and he became yellow.
He did?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's that?
Krishna went to Radha Kund
and he became yellow.
So, Krishna changes his color. Even Krishna changes his color when he goes for a bath sometimes. He said that's probably the first one it happened to. And then after that, ever since then? Yes. Gauranga, yes. Gauranga. He went in as Krishna and came out as Gauranga. What's that? Okay. Any other comments or questions? Vanamali. Yeah, before TV was available, people couldn't imagine that they were going to see pictures coming from such a far distant place. You know, moving pictures and people talking. It's quite amazing. But it's mystic power of the scientists. Yeah, for sure. All Prabhupada's books in a something this big, okay? Yeah, these computers. Yeah, computers. Yes, the mystic powers. Quite amazing. Devotional service is also quite amazing. So we have many things ahead of us. We have many things ahead of us, which are more amazing than what we're reading here. Shraddha to Prema. That's the most amazing thing. That change. When we make that change, that would be the most amazing. And then the TV in our heart will be working. We will see live telecasts from Goloka Vrindavan. Live. 24 hours a day. Hopefully. Yeah, did you find it?
No.
I think it's the end of 5 or the end of 6. Describing his life. Near the end of 5th chapter or the end of 6th chapter, but it stuck in my mind when I read that. Yes, first Jnana, then Aishwarya, and then Bhava. These things come like that. I don't know if it's for everybody, but that's what happened to Narada. And here it seems to say the same thing. In the course of performing your service, and all mystic powers come. Any other questions or comments? Okay? All glories to Srila Prabhupada.